chapter 62. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of the Lord. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be called desolate, but you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm tonight is Psalm 36, found in your bulletin, and we will read it responsively. Psalm 36. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes.
For he flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated.
The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and to do good.
He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord.
How precious is your steadfast love, O Lord. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights.
For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light.
O, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright of heart.
Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away.
There the evildoers lie fallen. They are thrust down, unable to rise.
Our second reading tonight comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. But you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. And to another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And Jesus said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you've kept the good wine until now." This was the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. I invite the children who are present to come forward for a children's message. You're probably wondering what I brought with me tonight, right? Usually I bring something and I put it right up here, right? But you look at it and you say, "Yeah, but it's invisible." So I must not have brought anything with me tonight. But I actually brought a gift. And the reason I brought a gift is because all of our lessons for tonight are talking about a gift. The gift. Do you have gifts? Do you know what your gift is? We have gifts, right? And sometimes we get gifts and sometimes we give gifts. Like, when do people give and get gifts? Christmas time? In fact, sometimes we even call those packages that are wrapped up with ribbons and paper presents, right? So gifts or presents, Christmas time, when else?
Easter?
Like maybe Easter baskets? Yeah? Birthdays, you go to parties, you give a gift, you get a gift when it's your birthday, right? Any other times? If somebody has a baby? Yeah, sometimes there's a baby, right? And they give gifts or presents, a shower, a wedding, right? In the gospel reading for tonight, we hear that Jesus and his disciples and his mother, they were invited to a wedding. And what happens at a wedding?
They get married.
They get married. They get presents. They get wedding presents, right? Sometimes they have a registry and they say, "This is what we want when we get married." Gifts. And in our second reading for tonight, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to people that he loves a lot in a city called Corinth. And evidently they've been fighting and bickering and arguing about gifts. Because that can happen, like at birthdays or at Christmas or other times. They can say, "Well, I really like this gift." "Oh, that gift stinks. Let's return it. Let's not even keep it." Right? I mean, that can happen with gifts. You can start to compare them. And what happened in Corinth is some people said, "Yeah, but my gift is better than your gift. My gift is bigger than your gift." Right? And what do you think that did to the family of God, the body of Jesus in Corinth? You think it made everybody happy?
No.
No, they got fighting and it was sad and it was not a happy time. So Paul says you got to stop fighting because you all got the same gift. You know what the gift is? What is it?
God.
Yeah, God gives himself to us. In baptism, he says, "Here, I'm going to give you some wedding presents. I'm going to make you my bride." Jesus is the bridegroom. We are the bride, right? And so whenever there's a baptism, there's a wedding ceremony. And a child is becoming the bride of Jesus. And the wedding presents that they get, like forgiveness of sins, like resurrection of the body and life everlasting. I mean, there's some really good gifts, right? And Jesus says, just in case you don't know that I've got a gift for you, that I am a gift for you, he says, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. Because when you get the Holy Spirit, then you get the presence of Jesus everywhere you go, all the time. You get the love of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus, you get the wedding presence of Jesus. So you see what our scripture lessons for tonight are telling us is that Jesus is not only the giver, he's also the gift that we keep re-gifting and sharing with others. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, you are the best gift. Help me share you with others. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Sometimes you don't get a chance to see people as often as you want to, and when you do, it's just a gift. So what a gift. In our opening song for tonight, I hope you saw how it really sets the tone for the whole season of Epiphany. Because the word Epiphany means to bring to light or to show or to reveal. It's like a revelation. The word Epiphany literally means to make manifest. So I've been wrestling all week with a question. The wedding in Cana, the transformation of the water into the wine, is it primarily a miracle, or is it most importantly a manifestation? Our opening hymn contained these words. And at Jordan's, right? And at Jordan's streams, prophet, priest, king, supreme, and at Jordan's streams, prophet, priest, and king supreme. Reminds us of the Magi, right? And how they gave the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh for the prophet, the priest, the king. And at Cana, wedding guest, in thy Godhead manifest. Manifest in power divine, changing water into wine. Anthems be to thee addressed, God in flesh made manifest. Right? So is the wedding in Cana primarily a miracle, or is it most importantly a manifestation that continues to reveal itself in earthen vessels, the bride of Christ, who continue to be the revealing of Jesus, the showing of Christ to the nations. In the Gospel of John, you know that John has, in fact, by the Holy Spirit, composed a work of art. You've got the prologue, chapter 1. You've got the epilogue, chapter 21. And then, sandwiched in between part 1 and part 2, you get the book of signs and the book of glory. Book of signs, chapters 2 through 12. Six signs awaiting the seventh and most glorious sign, which is in the book of glory, which is when the Son of Man is lifted up, exalted, enthroned on the cross, he will draw all people to himself, so that those who believe in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. The book of sign, the book of glory. In the book of signs, we are told that the wedding in Cana is the first sign. And we are told at the very end of St. John's Gospel the purpose of these signs. Because John doesn't talk about miracles. Instead, John talks about the signs of Jesus. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John says, "You see the cards in my hand? This is why I am writing and preaching this story of Jesus. Now, Jesus did many other signs that are not written in this book in the presence of his disciples. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing, you may have life in his name, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and abundant life, John 10, in his name. God in flesh made manifest. And at Cana wedding guest, the giver is the gift. Wedding presents. If we were taking attendance tonight, I could say your name, and you could say present, 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 which is correct, because you are present. You are gift of God. You are the gift of God through the Holy Spirit of Christ indwelling in the flesh and revealing grace upon grace to the world. Did you know that grace is found only in the opening chapter of St. John's Gospel? The word appears four times. Grace upon grace. And then in the book of signs, and then in the book of glory, we get to see this grace on top of grace on top of grace. That the giver is gifting, repurposing in and through earthen vessels. A story is told about, I don't know how many years this would have been, but it was a Johnny Carson episode. And I see that they're actually replaying a lot of those things on TV. So even younger generations say, I don't know what you're talking about. The Brady Bunch, the Partridge Family, Johnny Carson. But you can actually go on TV and see all the stuff that a lot of us old folks actually watched years, decades ago. Johnny Carson had a young boy, 8 years old, on one of his nighttime Johnny Carson shows because this boy from West Virginia had rescued two of his friends that were caught trapped in a coal mine. And this boy, kind of too small for the big seat that he's sitting on, is Johnny Carson's interviewing him, talking to him, and wants to know, tell me about this. How did this happen? How did you rescue him, etc.? And it becomes really apparent because he's using the name Jesus a lot, and I don't mean for profanity. He's using the name Jesus a lot so that Johnny Carson and the audience, they come to realize this little boy is a Christ follower. He's a disciple. He's into Jesus. And so Johnny Carson says, so you go to church? You go to Sunday school? He's, oh, yeah, every week I go to Sunday school. Well, so what was your lesson last Sunday? He said, oh, it was about Jesus taking water and turning it into wine. And Johnny Carson said, so what was the message of that story? What was the message of that lesson? And the little boy just kind of sat there for maybe 20 seconds. I mean, there was this awkward silence. And then he said, well, if you're going to have a wedding, you better invite Jesus. If you're going to have a wedding, you better invite Jesus. You know the tradition, right? You put the wedding ring on the ring finger. You know that, right? And people say, oh, I bet that's because it's in the Bible. Or I bet the Jewish people did that. Or, well, it's because of the Greeks. Did you know that tradition? It's from the Greeks. The Greeks are the ones that got us putting the ring on the third finger, the ring finger, because they believed that there was a love vein that went from this finger right to the heart. So when they put the ring there, I'm loving you with all my heart. We are joined in love in the heart. Well, so what did the Christians do when they adopted and adapted this? This is precious, my friends, because the bride and groom stood before the altar of the Lord, and the bridegroom would take the hand of his beloved bride and would begin with a pointed finger and place the ring on that finger and say, in the name of the Father, and then on the middle finger, and in the name of the Son, and then on the ring finger, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, I give you this ring. Joined together in the name of the triune God. You see, that little boy knew what he was talking about. 8 years old when he said, if you're going to have a wedding, if you're going to have a marriage, then you need to invite Jesus. And the early Christians, when they placed the ring on the ring finger, they were testifying, Jesus is Lord, and Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the name above all names, is the foundation of my walk and of our walk as husband and wife. In our first reading for tonight, the people of God are in Babylonian exile, and God speaks the word to them through the prophet Isaiah. And you probably noticed that one of the promises God gives to these rather despairing and hopeless people is this. No longer will you be known by the old name. And you know that baptism is a christening, right? A naming, a putting into useful service. No longer will you be known by the old name. Forsaken and your land desolate. But instead, I give you a new name. A christening. A new name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Instead, I give you a new name. She is my delight. And your land? Married. You see, God in flesh made manifest. Is John chapter 2 primarily a story of a miracle or a manifestation? And what's the purpose of the manifestation? The disciples believed. You don't find faith as a noun in the Gospel of John. You find it like 98 times, but always as a verb. You see, the walk with Jesus is a relationship. It's a forever. Because as you find out in the Old Testament, God is the husband and Israel is the wife. And in the New Testament, Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is his bride. And our Lord God Almighty, our Savior Jesus Christ, wants there to be no disruption in his union with his bride. God in flesh made manifest. You see, this is the real wedding presents. Not the gifts that come in boxes or wrapping paper, ribbons and bows, but the gift of Jesus. That's what John the St. Paul is professing in our epistle reading for tonight. We're going to be hearing for about the next 6 weeks. You're going to be getting little vignettes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. Everybody says, well, I know that wedding text from 1 Corinthians 13 about love. You can't know anything about love. And 1 Corinthians 13, if you don't read it in the sandwich of 1 Corinthians 12, and 14. Paul says we need to talk about gifts because when you were baptized, God, the greatest giver, gave himself to you. And with that gift, the giver gave forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, life everlasting. You see, it would be easy, I suppose, to just focus on the miraculous. And why some get a miracle and why some don't. But if instead we lay our hearts upon the manifestation, well, here's what I thought about this past week. You remember how last week was the baptism of our Lord and we remembered, celebrated our own baptism? Luther in the Small Catechism will say, how can water do such great things? You know, like deliverance from sin, death, and the devil, and eternal salvation for all who believe. And Luther not only asked the question, Luther then gives the reply. It's not the water. Water by itself is just water. But with the Word of God, it is a life-giving water, which brings about by faith through the grace of God and the working of the Holy Spirit a new birth. You see, there were 6 stone jars that Jesus repurposed. They were for the Jewish rites of purification, John chapter 2. And Jesus' mother comes to him and says, "Son, they got no wine." It's the third day, you know. Ding, 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 ding. I know, the bells go off, right? The alarm, the third day. I'm a third day person. Jesus said, on the third day, the Son of Man will rise from the dead. He's the first fruits of those who fall asleep. It's the third day. And we go, yes, Easter. Oh, wait a minute, we're at a wedding, right? Easter shows up at weddings? Well, if Jesus is present, it does. It's only the third day, and they were community celebrations, those weddings, because when you're oppressed by the Romans and other things, you don't have a lot of happy days. But when there's a celebration, everybody in the community family gets invited. The whole body gets invited. And they usually last 7 days. This is only the third day. Got a problem? No wine? Third day? You got 4 more days left of reception? Did you notice in the text for tonight, there isn't all kinds of fault-finding and all kinds of blaming? I bet you some people were over-consuming. I bet you it was poor planning. Who's to blame? None of that is in there, because the blaming, the pointing of the fingers, the fault-finding isn't going to solve nothing. It just isn't. So Mary says, because Mary's been invited, she's on the guest list, probably checked the registry, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited, so they weren't just kind of showing up, freeloading. Mary says, son, they got no wine. It's the third day. You're a third day person, Jesus. You know that. They got no wine. And Jesus says, Mom, this isn't my problem. Not our concern. It's not the Father's hour yet. It's not Kairos. It's not time yet. Now, I think that Mary, at that point, had forgotten about that Jesus is not beholding to us. I mean, Jesus is not like a magic wand that we wave. And I think maybe at that point that Mary remembered a conversation that she had with the angel Gabriel, where Gabriel says, you know, you're going to be the mother of God. Yeah, but I'm a virgin. Well, we're talking about an immaculate conception. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Okay, Mary says, let it be to me according to God's will. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Maybe at that moment of remembering, Mary says, oh, that's right. God takes care of everything. God takes care of absolutely everything, but always in his own way and in his own time. So Mary bows before her Lord, the only begotten Son. And Mary says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Isn't that precious? Do whatever Jesus tells you. We got a whole world out there, folks, that only wants to do what Jesus tells them when it's convenient or when it's not offensive. Mary speaks the truth. Do whatever Jesus tells you. And so he takes water. Water by itself is just water. But with the Word, and John chapter 1 says that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt, manifested himself among us, full of grace and truth. You see? It's the water with the Word. Jesus is present. He says, fill up all 6 jars. This is an extravagant God. You do not have a chintzy God. You don't have a chintzy God. If you think you do, then you need to spend more time with Jesus and his Word. Because God is not chintzy. He's not stingy. They didn't need 6 jars, maybe 2. 1 might have been enough. 2, 3, 6 of them, come on. Yeah, but this is what Jesus does. He takes a little boy's lunch, remember? 2 little sardines and 5 little cakes of barley bread, and he feeds 5,000, and there's leftovers. Well, at the end of John chapter 21, the disciples go fishing. He says, you need to throw the net on the right side. I don't know if it was on the left side or if it was on the wrong side, but you need to throw it on the right side. And they get 153 fish. They can't even haul it in. All they wanted was maybe 10 or 15. 153. Who does that? Jesus does that. Who takes and commands the servant, fill up with water all 6 stone jars? And now, why don't you take the dipper to the chief steward, the master of this wedding feast, and let him have a taste? Because maybe he's heard a rumor that the wine's all gone. And he tastes it. And he says, oh my God. I think he did. It's not in the Bible, but I think he probably said, oh my God, this is the best wine I've ever tasted. I've never tasted a wine like this. Who does this? Who saves the best for last? For you, Jesus, wedding present. That's what God does. Now, I realize a lot of times you'll go and you'll check the registry. You can do that little computer type stuff, you know, at Target. You might want to go and check the Target registry, the wedding one. But what our scripture lessons for tonight assure us of is this. You've got to be on God's registry. You just do. Because that's where the wedding presence is found. That's where we get Jesus, the Word of God. Paul says there are a variety of gifts, really apportionments or allotments, and he's not talking about a lottery. There are varieties of gifts, right? It's the same Spirit, and they're all for one purpose, for the building up of the body of Christ. So quit the competing and the comparing, because you've all got the same gift of Jesus, and he is Lord and Savior. In fact, you've got his Holy Spirit, and I can prove it to you. On the count of three, say Jesus is Lord. And don't be timid. 1, 2, 3. Jesus is Lord. See? You know what that says? Paul says, I'll put it right out there for you. No one can say Jesus is Lord unless they got the Holy Spirit. You believe it. And God is manifesting his glory in the confession. And so we become earthen vessels to share the glory of God with others. And how do we do that? Well, the first lesson for tonight says, and the light is seen in the light. The light is seen in the light. Jesus is the light of the world, and he says, you are the light of the world. You're my earthly vessels. You see, Jesus didn't get the credit for the water into wine. You notice that, right? The chief steward says to the bridegroom, this is good stuff. Way to go, man. But the disciples knew the truth, and they believed. And in their believing, the glory of God was revealed. And it's lived out by the bride of Jesus in daily life. Chauncey Jones is a teenager. He and his mother live in poverty. In fact, the poverty they live in is where at one time the refrigerator was empty. They were sleeping on pads that were kind of remnants of sleeping bags. They had 2 little lights in their small little place. But Chauncey Jones said, for some reason, I heard a voice telling me to go to Kroger's, you know, the upscale fancy grocery store. Go there and you'll get some food. So he says, I go there. He was a teenager. He goes there and he says to a man named Matthew Wyatt, if I carry your groceries out to your car, will you buy me a pack of donuts? Something happened to Matthew Wyatt in that moment. I call it epiphany. I call it manifestation. But he said, box of donuts. Let's go on a shopping spree. I mean, Matthew is not that well-to-do, and he doesn't have all the money in the world. But Matthew, what? He gets a big shopping cart, and they're throwing all kinds of food in there, and there's milk in there, and there's bread in there, and there's meats in there, and there's soap, and there's toothpaste and toothbrushes, and it's just heaped up. And then he takes the young boy home, where he sees only two lamps and a couple of sleeping bags as a mat on the floor. And so then Matthew went home that night, and he started a GoFundMe account. $273,000 put into a trust so that this young teenager can have an education, and so that by the grace of God, they can grow out of poverty. Now, some people might say, boy, was that a lucky moment. Or they might even say, that was a miracle. But who's going to get the credit? You know what Chauncey Jones said? Something told me to go to Kroger's. And then he paused. Maybe because what that little 8-year-old said to Johnny Carson is true. If you want to have a wedding, make sure you invite Jesus. If you want to build a marriage, a home, a life that is eternal, invite Jesus. So Chauncey Jones said, it was Jesus. He told me to go to Kroger's. And they believed. And the glory of God is revealed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.